fighting for America.
The hands up thing is not something new. In the black community, it's totally different. We hear about this crap all the time. We know not to interact with the cops. We know not to say too much, do too much.
Fighting for Idaho.
I miss him so much. He's just so funny. Whenever you were down, he just made you laugh. I just miss him.
Fighting for you.
The situation this past 2 years has been extremely difficult. It's taught us a lot about patience and trusting God. And we're just beginning to realize the amazing hidden blessings that God has brought through this crisis.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. It is Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. Joining us now from the Media Research Center, our friend Dan Gaynor. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
You know, I don't know if y'all are going into overdrive or it's cliche to say this. Have we ever seen anything like this non-ending Ferguson fallout shenanigans that's going on?
Well, I mean, the left is trying to turn Ferguson into what they failed to create, Occupy Wall Street. You know, if you remember, they're basically a bunch of people going around the country throwing protests. Oh, we want to turn down the system. I mean, actually, the Occupy Wall Street people would walk down the streets of America carrying signs calling for revolution. So what that failed, shocker, that, you know, the smelly encampments of people who don't want to work, didn't really impress people. So now they've seized on Ferguson. And what they're doing, they're co-opting the message. They're, you know, okay, it's no longer just about whether, in fact, you know, something bad happened here or not. The grand jury decided not. They want to, you know, the new initiative is shut it down. They're going around blocking roads, shutting down malls, shutting down stores. On Saturday was notable for two things. Saturday was Small Business Saturday. So you've got people going around shutting down businesses, small businesses, on Small Business Saturday to mark their shut it down day. But it was also the 72nd anniversary of something that I think most people who are not in the fire department don't remember. The second biggest fire in the history of the United States was a place called Coconut Grove. It was a nightclub. And it was horribly designed. It had a revolving door in the front, and then they had locked the interior doors. So in Seattle, to mark that anniversary, because you got to love these people, they chain doors shut in a mall, and then of course creating panic. Do they not realize that this is how people get hurt?
Right.
They don't care. They want the goal of the left and the post-Ferguson protests is to cause maximum amount of chaos because they need to get their side motivated for the 2016 election.
What about our friends in the media? There is no objectivity, it seems, when it comes to Ferguson.
There's been no objectivity for all along. They hyped it going in, and in a way that really, I would argue, hurts the local community. They, if you go up to people and you keep talking to rabble-rousers and you keep asking them, are you going to riot? Are you going to riot? Have you considered rioting? Have you thought about rioting? Is there going to be violence? Have you considered violence? What are your strategies for violence? You do that enough beforehand and talk about how the worst thing possible and how it's a powder keg and all these, use these outlandish terms. Then when the decision comes down, it's not shocking that bad things happen. Now, that doesn't absolve the people who did the bad things. Don't begin to think it does. But it also explains a little bit. And even the night of the protest, when the rioting began, the rioting moved at kind of glacial pace. You had, initially there were like two fires, one store broken into, and one case where the police had used tear gas because some people were trying to tip over a car. Not exactly, Watts riots or Rodney King. But the media are talking about how awful it is on the networks, and there's all these live streamers out there and all, and they exacerbate the problem. Yes, they have a right to cover it, but leading up to this, there were times where there were more journalists, and I think probably the night of the riots, there are probably more journalists there than people who are rioting.
Well, and let's expand on this, where you have people not challenging guests by saying America is bad, America is racist, the police are horrible. At the very least, they're doing a dishonor to public service.
Well, yeah, I mean, to show how far the media will go on this, the Washington Post ran a graphic the other day online. I don't think it ran in the paper. It said how white people's perception of black crime is wrong. And it showed a variety of stats and showed how white people think a higher percentage of the crime occurs than actually occurs. Okay, that sounds valid. But then you look, and African-American community in this country is 13.4% of the population. Armed, gun robberies are 41% of those are committed by African-Americans. 41%. So literally three times the population. According to this chart, white people think it's 42 or 43. There are no numbers on every line, so you kind of have to guess. So 42 or 43. So all of 1 or 2% more than it really is. Oh, that's awful. And there's a bigger gap, but if you look on the chart, in all the categories except for one, African Americans account for 30% or more of the crime. Well, that seems to be a bigger problem than what white perception is of crime. The actual realities of crime. Larry Elder's been commenting a lot on this lately, that the media don't want to talk about black-on-black crime. They don't want to talk about crime in the African-American community. They simply want to focus on police misbehavior. But by doing one and not the other, they're really doing a disservice to the community. They're blaming it all on the police and, in the case of the Washington Post, on white perception, not reality.
Well, and again, I just can't believe how, a couple weeks ago, here we are on Thanksgiving, the eve of it, the verdict comes out. We've got people, no justice, no peace. You've got Mike Brown's stepfather saying, burn the blankety blank down. You've got the St. Louis Rams, who got a pass from the NFL on their horrible display.
What's amazing to me about the Rams is this. Imagine a slightly alternate world, where five white Rams players come out, because remember, Officer Wilson, not convicted. Grand jury didn't find enough to indict. So they come out because they are protected day in, day out in their lives by police officers. So let's say five Rams players came out five white Rams players came out and saluted as a tribute to the Ferguson police. The American media, the NFL, would destroy them. If they weren't star players, I mean absolute stars, they would be suspended. The player who criticized Michael Sam's kiss got suspended. So you're not allowed free speech in the NFL. You're only allowed approved speech. And approved speech is not what the NFL considers it to be. It's what the major media consider it to be.
What's the impact at 580KIDO? By the way, our friend Dan Gaynor with us from the Media Research Center, Kevin Miller in the morning. What's the impact this has on public perception, on impressionable minds, or people that lack critical thinking skills?
Well, I mean, it convinces them the world is upside down. In the media, that's what they want. They want to set an agenda saying America, instead of having fought a war where 750,000 people were killed, that's the more recent estimates of the Civil War, the most deadly war in American history, fought a war freeing slaves. They want to paint America as only bad. Instead of talking about how even today there are American groups, particularly Christian groups, working to free slaves in Africa because there are currently more people enslaved today than any time in history. Everything from the media is always America is bad. Anything that happened in the past in America is bad. And so they embrace this hating of America, and they don't want to put anything in context at all. And so what they do, they teach young people to hate the very country they live in, to feel sorry, to apologize for it. And, I mean, that goes all the way up to the top in our country now. And, I mean, remember the very famous Michelle Obama line where she said, she had never been proud of her country until it was elected Obama. Well, if you've never been proud of the country, I'm sad for you. I just am. You know, whether you were proud when Martin Luther King marched on Washington, or proud because of the Civil War, or proud because we freed Europe and, you know, lost 600,000 American lives, many of them African American, freeing the world from fascism. You think maybe that would make you proud, but no, only something that comes close to home makes you proud.
Well, and that's the issue. It's as if, Dan, that the media will not let this Ferguson situation fade away.
Well, they don't want it to. This is Occupy Wall Street Part 2. Occupy Wall Street was an attempt to motivate the grassroots to get a kind of initiative going so that the far left, and I'm talking about people who are so liberal they don't call themselves liberal, they call themselves progressives, so that the progressives can get, you know, a militant voice in America. They want to take us back literally more than 100 years ago, where the progressive movement was unionizing and, you know, terrorizing businesses, and, you know, that's what they want. And so when you look at the post-Ferguson protests, it's like they're a mannequin, and you can put whatever clothes you want on it. So you've got the shut-it-down protesters who want to harm businesses and harm, you know, harm people, block traffic, et cetera. You've got some people who justifiably are concerned about police. I have no problem with that if you want to do that peacefully. And I mean, you've got all sorts of other agendas coming onto it, but the idea is just that, I mean, on Friday they were out there protesting Walmart because we're going to protest Walmart wages. What does that have to do with anything? It is a catch-all to motivate the left so that they can win in 2016, because it all comes down to numbers. And with Obama off the ticket, the left is very concerned that they will do as they did in 2014 and not get a lot of minority votes. I mean, look, I live in Maryland. Maryland, which is, you know, has a significant minority population, Baltimore City only returned 130,000 voters, and 30,000 of those voted for the Republican. Maryland now has a Republican governor. The left is terrified by those kind of results.
And they should. They should be terrified. More coming up with our great friend Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. Kevin Miller in the morning here. Remember, you can always check us out on Facebook. You can check me out on Facebook, Kevin Miller Show. And we always want to hear from you, Kevin Miller Show, on Twitter. And, of course, 580kido.com for our blogs and everything else. Coming up, we're going to talk about more of how the media continues to influence our society, whether we're talking about the Obama girls, the big flap involving one staffer who said something on Facebook and had to resign and was publicly scolded. What about the double standards? That's next. Let's get you.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ooh, 580 KIDO, Dan Gaynor with us from the Media Research Center. Now, Dan, you always have folks here in Boise. Would you like to say hello to them?
Absolutely. I have a couple family members out there, my brother and his wife and two of his lovely nieces. We've kidnapped two of them back east. So I hope everybody has a great day today, and I hope to see them soon.
Well, indeed, east and west unite here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things in the news. What'd you make of this staffer who said a few things about Malia and Sasha on the Facebook, and then all of a sudden, boom, she's publicly flawed and gets the boot?
Yeah, this is so offensive and so characteristic of today's media that it's astonishing. The left can say anything they want about people, and I'll get into that more, but I mean, you know, that without repercussion. But a communications director goes on Facebook and criticizes the Obama girls for not dressing appropriately and seeming disinterested at a public event. Well, guess what? They didn't dress appropriately and they seemed disinterested in a public event. Now they're teenagers, and, you know, personally, I couldn't care less, but I'm also not a young woman, and she was coming at it from that perspective. She is a young woman, so she could relate. She said they're not serving as good role models. In a free democracy, that's perfectly fair critique, but not to the left, who view Obama as almost a deity. I mean, they don't acknowledge anybody, dare criticize, and if you do so, oh my gosh, you must be racist. So immediately there was a feeding frenzy, and the media started talking about it endlessly. Lots of coverage, harassing her congressman, and of course their congressman, you know, I think looked at it from the standard, you know, conservative viewpoint, which is, you know, this is a distraction from what he wants to do, and also, you know, probably not being supportive of criticizing kids. But you look back at history, and the Washington Post did a fashion story on what John Roberts' kids, who were 4 and 5, on what they wore and what that meant. That's okay. The woman who wrote that, Robin Givens, ended up winning a Pulitzer Prize for her fashion coverage at the Washington Post. You've got David Letterman, who really is in the pantheon of American scumbags, really high up. I mean, he's, you know, just a foul human being. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he was always that way. I used to think he was funny, and I think it went off the rails. He made a rape joke. Now, you know, think about what I just said. He made a rape joke. I don't even what motivates you to do that on national television on your show, but he made a rape joke about an underage girl, the daughter of Sarah Palin. So, you know, now he still got a job. He had to apologize, but then he later came out and said, oh, his apology was bogus. He just did it to make the issue go away. He's still, oh, that's okay. Bill Maher calls Sarah Palin the C word. He makes fun of Bristol Palin with something I can't say on radio. He still has a show on HBO. The hypocrisy of the American media, who are stalking, and I mean no other word, stalking Elizabeth Lawton now. It was reported yesterday that multiple media outlets are waiting outside her home. Guess where they're not waiting? They're not waiting outside the home of Gruber, the guy who got paid millions of dollars by American government to create Obamacare and basically help propagate the greatest fraud in human history. That's okay. We're not going to follow him. We're not going to go to his classes. We're not going to go to his home. We're not going to seek him out at restaurants. But we're going to get a low-level comms person for a member of Congress, and we're going to seek to destroy her for all time. And here's why they want to do it. Because they are sending a message that if you dare criticize someone they don't want you to criticize, if you dare step out of line in 2014 America, you will be squashed. There's a great Japanese expression, and this is indicative of Japanese society. The nail that sticks up will be hammered down. And that is exactly what they're doing to Elizabeth Lawton here, to the point where they have not only, you know, cost her job, but now they're stalking her even after the point. And what they're doing is foul, but I don't think they've reached a point now where they're just operating as the guardians and the PR people for the Obama administration. But here's where we're going, and they're not going to like the result, and they're the ones bringing it on. There was a case just last week where the New York Times, that came out, had released the street that Officer Wilson lives on. They didn't give the full address, but it's a street with 40 houses, and if you can't figure out which one of them is Officer Wilson, if he's staying there, then you're an idiot. You can just park at the front of the street and watch who goes where. Wilson's got death threats. His wife has gotten, you know, I mean, the police department got death threats. He's, you know, he's in danger. They posted information. Turns out the Washington Post had done it before and another outlet. I can't remember which one. Well, in response, some people went online, and I'm not advocating this. I'm just telling you that like it has happened. Went online and found out the addresses of both reporters who were involved in that story and posted it online, and then it went viral all over the Internet what their addresses are. If journalists are going to reach a point where they're simply serving as, you know, the Praetorian Guard for the Democratic president, they're going to find more and more that people are not going to tolerate it. If you're going to seek to destroy a young woman because she criticized how the Obama kids acted at an event, if that has become the public death sentence in America, well, then the reporters involved in that are going to increasingly find that their lives are turned upside down as well.
Dan Gaynor with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. But again, it's what's the origin of this just hate America policy? I understand partisanship. I just don't understand the vitriol, the lying, just the manipulation of the media, Dan.
Well, I mean, it helps to have a historical perspective. And I think a lot of this really goes back to the 60s. The people who run things on the left now cut their teeth in the 60s. The people who run some of these top organizations, people who were involved, you know, the 60s and 70s when we had, quote, alternate media. Alternate media back then meant small weekly papers like the city papers you see around the country, or, you know, things like that, real wild media. But then they were the people, because they were experienced, they ended up becoming part of the media. And so at the top echelons of major media in this country are people who really are left-wing activists, not neutral in any way, shape, or form. The whole concept of journalistic neutrality went out the window years ago. And frankly, the seminal event for that was Watergate. It taught American journalists all the wrong reasons. It taught them that the way to become, you know, famous in history was to destroy a Republican president of the United States, not to overturn corruption, not to ferret out bad things in government. No, to go after the Republicans. And so after Watergate, you got increasing large number of people who went into media, who saw media as partisan. And, you know, the concept of media neutrality has gone out the window. And then once we got the Internet, it was like stepping off a cliff. People involved in the Internet, journalists involved in the Internet, it's almost impossible to hide your partisanship on the Internet. You know, the more you tweet, the more you post on Facebook, the more you make comments online, the stuff that you edit out in your reports comes out in the real world.
More with Dan Gaynor next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller Show on Facebook. Dan Gaynor with us from the Media Research Center, MRC.org. MRC.org. Dan, it is the end of the year, believe it or not, and usually things slow down, except the continuing pablum permeating from the politically correct Politburo, if you will. What have been some of the most outrageous, egregious stories that have been distorted that you guys have shed light on?
Well, one of the things that just happened, and then we can get to some of the other end of years, is we just finished hurricane season. Now, I know in Idaho, hurricanes are not really like big news, but it's part of this whole climate craziness that you see in the media. And what happens is every year you get hurricane predictions, and you know, we keep not having big hurricanes. In fact, we've only had one, and it was a very low-grade hurricane, even though it caused a lot of damage, Hurricane Sandy. Only one hurricane, you know, really hit ground since Katrina. But after Katrina, if you go back 9 years ago, you find that Al Gore and other people were warning the apocalyptic nature of climate change. And people keep talking about on the networks, the big terminology right now, and you guys have probably seen this locally, is you'll hear news reporters talk about extreme weather. Now, we've got a continent, you know, with a nation in the middle of it, ours, that is 3,000 miles wide. It's kind of big. It's got, unlike Europe, you know, we got little tiny nations. We had a lot of territory. We got deserts and mountains and oceans and seas, oceans and lakes, and all sorts of weather patterns. Pretty much any moment at time, anywhere, somewhere in the United States, you can find flooding or drought, big storms, colder than normal, warmer than normal, whatever. All my life we've called that under the convenient term weather. But now, media want to hype everything. It is part of providing cover for the climate change argument, part of making people think that weather is somehow worse. But when you really look at the extreme weather measures, you find out, oh, it turns out really weather isn't worse. It's just weather. You know, okay, we had a real cold winter last winter. You didn't see journalists coming around and saying, oh, well, the cold winter means global cooling. No. But if we'd had a warm winter, you would have seen them coming around saying, well, we can't point to any weather event saying it's global warming. This is indicative of what we think. So you get cherry-picked news where every weather event matches whatever they want to tell you anyhow. And so, you know, oh, we're going to tell you floods in Arkansas, you know, or floods along the Mississippi, which, you know, the Mississippi is a mile wide. Flooding happens all the time. If you get any rain, you know, the Mississippi grows. We're going to hype that and call it extreme weather because we want to convince people that things are worse. We've moved past journalism into, you know, government propaganda.
As we continue on here talking about the issues of the day, the cure to the propaganda is Dan Gaynor in the Media Research Center, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Let me, you know, we always talk about the power of talk radio and the blogs and the Fox News channel, but to me, it seems, it's still overwhelmingly in favor of the traditional mainstream media.
Yeah, everything is stacked for the traditional media because they have what my MBA professors like to call first mover advantage. If you think about, look at the internet. Why is Drudge Report popular? Because Matt Drudge was the first person to really have a conservative news aggregator out there, and the left hates him, but you know it remains powerful because of that. Networks are, you know, they've been the big three networks have been the dominant players for, you know, going back in the 1950s when, you know, people got television. So anybody who's grown up around television is used to that. Now they go to their websites online. So even though we have segmented media 1,000 times over, we have websites and media outlets that didn't exist 2 years ago that are now prominent players. Despite that, the networks still have huge advantages and lots and big budgets that they can impact things. You look at a company like NBC, which is among the big three networks, is far and away the worst one right now, and that's in part because of its affiliation with MSNBC, and you know people jump back and forth from one to the other. Chuck Todd, who does Meet the Press on NBC, had a show on MSNBC just recently. His wife is doing consulting for the presidential campaign of Democrat Webb. Now, you know, most people would think of that as a conflict. But when you're in media, no one cares.
Well, when we see all the media folks, as you guys have documented, that are now working for Democrats.
I could be doing the number a disservice. I think the last time I looked at the number of people who were working journalists who went to work for the Obama administration, something like 30. Now, that's not to say some people didn't go to work for Bush. It's probably like 3. You know, that's the difference. And when you go to work for a Republican in Washington, trying to then find a job in traditional media is almost impossible. You can go to work for a Democrat, as a surprising number of top journalists have done, or you can have your wife used to work for Planned Parenthood, or you know work as a Democratic consultant, and nobody thinks anything of it because those kind of ethical issues generally the media don't care about.
Yeah, again, it continues to be the double standard, if you will.
Yeah, I love the double standard term. I use it, but it comes down to this. There's no standard on the one side, and there's an extreme standard on the other. There are no rules. If you're a liberal journalist, basically, if you're a journalist in Washington, you know, you go to liberal parties, you socialize with liberals, you hang out with Democrats, you date in that area, you marry in that area, you go to a liberal party in Washington, I have, there are almost no conservatives, or almost no, you'll find lots of media people. You go to a conservative party in Washington, there are almost no media people, and that's the divide. In their work life and in their personal life, they hang to the left.
Dan Gainer with us here at 580KIDO. So, Dan, what about some of the stories, though, that have gotten your attention?
Well, obviously the shut it down thing is going on right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if it works its way out to Idaho even. The post-Ferguson protests. But remember the attacks on TurboTax earlier this year? TurboTax, the government and the left have come up with a new idea where the IRS fills out your tax form for you. Because, I really trust that. And people criticize TurboTax for coming out and complaining about it. TurboTax enables you to pick what you think is the way to do your taxes, not to have the government do it for you. I mean, why did the government just basically take all your money at the beginning of the year and portion it out? So that would be one of the things that when I look back at this year, that was bad. Remember the Fed Up movie? I don't know if you saw anything about this.
Oh, yeah, Michael Douglas.
This is, for people who don't know, this was a documentary movie about food, and it was done by Katie Couric, little perky Katie Couric, out there. Well, as part of the reality of this movie, Katie came out and said, when it comes to obesity, she's not a journalist, she's an activist. And the movie purported to tell to claim that sugar is addictive. Sugar is not addictive. Sugar tastes good. I went to a conference a few years back, actually probably more than a few now, probably about eight or 9 years back, where it was held in Boston, and it brought together all of the would-be food scolds on the left, Marion Nestle, John Banzhaf, and others. And they sat there and talked and plotted and said, how can we treat food like it's tobacco? How can we sue all the food companies for creating tasty food? That's their push. So what they do, they come out with these movies, these documentaries, and then they get huge support in the media, and the media don't point out the hypocrisy or the reason why people are overweight in America is pretty simple. We used to all live on farms and work, because farm work is darn hard. We used to work out more. And people didn't used to be as financially well off as they are now. So now we have infinite amount of food for Americans. I mean, it's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard to starve in America. You can buy whatever food you want year round. You can buy grapes. I love grapes. I buy them year round, even though they're shipped from Chile or wherever they come from. The left doesn't like that choice. They want you to eat whatever local. They don't want you to get industrial grown food. They don't like that you're overweight. They want to control every aspect of how you live. You guys are close enough to California. Maybe you remember this story. A few years back, California tried to pass a law that allowed the government to control your thermostat in your home.
Amazing.
Now, of course, people found out about that and didn't like it and didn't go over. But I mean, then you look at what Michelle Obama is doing with her Let's Move campaign. They don't think the rest of us are smart enough to know how we run our lives. They don't think we should live the way we do, eat the way we do, commute the way we do. They know better.
Dan, hang on. More coming up with our great friend Dan Gainer, Kevin Miller in the morning here. You're listening to 580KIDO. Remember, at 580KIDO on Twitter, at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, Facebook, of course, all the ways to reach out to us. Much more coming up with our great friend Dan Gainer as we continue to talk about the news and the issues that impact you. Time for traffic now on the Kevin.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
With us from the Media Research Center. I'm sorry, I didn't let you finish on that last thought, Dan.
Here's what's disturbing, why this is disturbing. If you ever watched the TV show West Wing, which, frankly, one of my all-time favorite TV shows, but it was a peek into how liberals view the world. And at one point, there was a job opening in the White House in this show, and they came to the conclusion that only maybe five people in America could do this job. And the reality is, yeah, a lot more than that could do it. But to liberals, they think that they are smarter and better people, and that they're the elite. You see this a lot in the commentary from Hollywood and a lot in the commentary from Washington. It's almost the same, that they know better how we should live, because they know if these laws are passed, if the media get what they want about how we should live, it's not going to affect them. Al Gore's got three or four homes. I've lost track of how many different homes. He flies around the world telling the rest of us we shouldn't fly. He drives in SUVs telling the rest of us we shouldn't drive in SUVs. They are walking, talking hypocrites, and they know that none of the rules that they expect us to obey would ever be held against them.
Dan Gaynor with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO. Final thought here. We've got about 30 seconds left as we get ready to ring in the new year of media bias.
Well, I mean, I think next year we're going to see presidential campaign. I think the thing to watch is look at how much the media attack every one of the Republican candidates and how little they attack Hillary or any other candidates. They are setting the agenda to try to take down the GOP people even before their campaigns have begun.
Dan Gaynor, as always, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you. 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Coming up, we'll take a look at the events going on at Fox News, Fox News Radio, and always stay tuned with us. Like I said, we are expanding our social media presence. Would love you to give us a like, 580KIDO, KIDO AM Boise. Those are our Facebook posts, at 580KIDO on Twitter. And friend me, because gosh knows I need more friends. That's Kevin Miller on Facebook. Fox News is next. Stay here, stay informed. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.